Daniel up.
Australian Ben?
Yes, man.
Is that really you?
Is that the Cosmic Cowboy?
Hey, do they have cowboys in Australia?
We got cowboys, we got guys with guns, we got whiskey drinkers, but we've got God-fearing Australians who are waiting for America to come through Donald Trump to save the day and put a new justice on that Supreme Court. Let's fix America, Daniel.
Oh, hey, I'm all for it, man. I don't think that people in this country expected RBG to pass like she did, and now there's going to be a gigantic fight over here, Australian Ben.
I'm looking forward to it. I love America. We love America. America is the future of the world. America is the champion and bastion for freedom around the world. When America falls, the world falls, and that can't happen, Daniel. So we're doing everything possible to support you guys in any way we can. Hey, and Donald Trump's going to knock it out the park, I think, Daniel. I think he'll knock it out the park, mate, and we'll see the leftists go absolutely crazy. And that's a good thing. You can set your bees on them, mate.
You know, I just about got my bees trained, okay? I about got them trained to attack at command. All I got to do is say, go get them, girls, and about 150,000 bees will be flying. Hey, let me ask you, though. In Australia, man, are you guys in a lockdown over there?
I live on the Gold Coast, which is in the north of Australia. Down in Victoria, where my mother lives, they are under lockdown. They have been for approximately 9 months. They are allowed out of home 1 hour a day. Otherwise, they're under curfew. 80-year-old ladies have been sitting next to each other on park benches having a chat after a leisurely stroll. Mm-hmm. And they have been confronted by police. Some cases thrown to the ground. Other cases what? Arrested. It's crazy down there. It's martial law without the guns in people's faces. But people don't think it's martial law because they're abiding. But I put to them that if they're locked in their homes 23 hours a day and they're meant to be free people, and if they walk outside of those hours, even to go to the local cafe, to go to the supermarket, even if they went to McDonald's, Daniel, these people are getting huge fines. So they get financial penalties to the tune of thousands of dollars, which is meant to dissuade them. But unfortunately, there's not enough police to contain all the people. We have seen some recent outbreaks, some scourges. People can jump onto YouTube, type in Melbourne protests, and they'll be able to see what's happened in the last 24 hours. But it's a bit like, it feels like Ruby Ridge in some ways, Daniel, but we haven't got the guns, mate. So when the cops arrive, the police have arrived at pregnant women's homes. They've walked into family homes with children, literally with pregnant women standing in their kitchen, with their husbands next to them, and they've arrested the mother for making a post on Facebook saying that she will be attending her local park on such and such a day with her child for a nice outing. Maybe some of the other mums in the area would like to come along, bring their children there, and people can enjoy themselves. Now, that's seen as inciting the Australian people to disavow the government's lockdown status. So those people are being treated as criminals, Daniel. It's chaotic, mate.
Mm. Hey, by the way, Peter from Australia said that he's in lockdown. Did they take your guns?
They took more than the guns, Daniel. They deprived the law-abiding the ability to defend themselves, and they did so under the justification of a false flag attack which occurred in Tasmania in 1996 by a gentleman they attributed the crime. His name was Martin Bryant. It was referred to as the Port Arthur Massacre, and several dozen people were executed on the spot. It was a tourist facility. They were chased down, hunted by a man with a gun. They tried to say it was a similar type of weapon to an AR-15. It was a semi-auto. The following day, the Prime Minister came out and said, we cannot have these mass weapons of war. He played on Australians' heartstrings, pulled on Australians' heartstrings, and said, we're implementing a buyback. And for any Australians that wish to hold on to their firearms legally, the government treated them as criminals, offered them a check, and if you didn't take the check, you got prison instead. So, we don't have guns, mate. Mm. And we have a very small political party. It's called the Sporting Shooters and Fishers Party. They're farmers. They're outback type of guys. They like going pig hunting, Daniel. They love sicking American pit bulls on boars out here in the outback. And we have elements of our government trying to deprive those gentlemen. We have elements of our government trying to deprive farmers of the right to a shotgun to eliminate vermin on their own land. It's a different type of mindset over here. Our media constantly tells us how horrible it is for Americans to have guns.
Well, Americans have been on a gun buying spree for the last several, since the first lockdown. Really, it started in the last administration, but now they're just going crazy. And, of course, there's a shortage of ammo over here. But really, the good news is the shortage of ammo is for the people who didn't believe in guns last year. They were all against them and everything. So the people that love America, love freedom, they've been arming up for years. And so they're not rushing to try to get guns and ammo. Other people are, but it's too late for them. But I don't think that Americans would give up their guns so easily. But I can tell you, to your point, Australian Ben, every time there's a shooting, there's a demand for everybody to give up their guns. One political party said if they get in power, they're going to take them. But it isn't going to be so easy here in the United States.
It's not going to be easy. I think Alex Jones said it best to Piers Morgan years ago on CNN. Daniel, what did he say? 1776 will commence again if you attempt to take our firearms. And it doesn't matter how many lemons you get out there in the streets begging people to give them back. You will not relinquish them. And that's important because, once again, when you guys go down, the rest of the world goes down. And it can't be that way. So the people that are opposed to the NRA in your country, Daniel, I personally feel they're opposed to personal freedom and individualism. They find that threatening because the individual, he's bulletproof, mate, because ideas are bulletproof and he's the master of his own destiny. And the Democrat Party doesn't want people to be masters of their own destiny. Well, I guess a lot of political parties would prefer people not to be the masters of their own destiny. But there's a reckoning coming for America, Daniel. I think it's been long past due. The racial powder keg is certainly, that fuse got lit some time ago. I believe in 2008, America voted to end racism when they brought in Barack Obama. Barack Obama did not allow that to happen. He incited the racism and he has cultivated what we see now. And I think it's ominous. And it's worth noting that Barack Obama's silence during the riot, burning, looting, stealing, and antics of Black Lives Matter, the un-American behavior, I think that's evidence of his fingerprints all over it, Daniel. And that's sedition. And all the things they've accused Trump of, mate, if we want to take those things seriously, you know, clear the decks because the hellos are going to hang some people.
Well, you sure know a lot about the political situation over here. And in fact, it is sedition. And I think I have the definition because I put it on my Facebook post here what the definition is. It is, maybe I don't have it up there. But anyway, it says, sedition refers to the act of inciting revolt or violence against lawful authority with the goal of destroying or overthrowing it. And that is the playing card of the left and the Antifa BLM. They want to overthrow without an election. That is sedition.
Daniel, your country, it's difficult for me maybe to describe this adequately for yourself and your audience, but your country is more than the country that you just live in, okay? Let me paint a picture. Your country is the feeling of jubilation when Rocky smashes Drago in Rocky IV. It's the feeling of jubilation when John McClane saves the day in Die Hard. It's the feeling of jubilation of the speech at the end of Independence Day by the president. These feelings, this freedom, it's a heartbeat, Daniel. And the way we see it trying to be snuffed out by the godless, personally to me, it's infuriating. Because America's got sheriffs. And once upon a time, when anyone got a little bit rowdy in the wrong side of town, the sheriff rolled into town and he put an end to it. And we saw Portland, we saw Chop or Chaz or whatever they wanted to call it. And I really just hope that... you know, in its heart of hearts, America is a Christian nation, was founded by Christians, and the Constitution was based on Christianity. Fair enough, every nation has its original sin. That was some time ago, And I personally don't believe we live in this racist world. I'm constantly told there's Nazis left, right, and center, Daniel. I've never met one in my life, mate. The names they attribute to people, like the guest who didn't appear tonight, that's a weakness. And that's a weakness to confront the human condition. And I think what America is suffering from, it's suffering with a crisis of its identity. And it's suffering because it's allowed so many elements into that country who don't subscribe to the true identity of America, Daniel. Adios, America. They want something different, mate. And that's happening in real life right now, and you see it playing out. You know, how Nancy Pelosi can get up there constantly and talk and people not say there's something wrong with this woman. She doesn't communicate effectively whatsoever, and she's meant to be the Speaker of the House. Incompetency has become so prevalent, mate, that Chuck Schumer gets up there and I just want to smash him, dude. I want to smash him. I want to strangle some of these people. You know, not literally, but my goodness gracious, Daniel, how much do you guys have to cop? Because every time that you guys wear something, we wear it even worse here because it amplifies our crazy leftists. I've had enough, mate.
Wow, you're getting rave reviews in the chat. As you if you're watching it, they really say that, hey, the real guest came on the program, showed some character there. Right, and if America falls, there's nowhere left to go. And we are on a razor's edge right now. Everything, I mean, it's like the guests can't even talk to me because they're so diametrically opposed. They may say I'm political, but what they're really saying is I don't agree with your political views. They're not this neutral. That guest wasn't a neutral party. That guest was offended because of her political position. That's what it was. And that just drove fear and resentment and hatred into her heart. And so, you know, it's unfortunate, but that's kind of where we are. It was demonstrated on this program tonight. We've got some work to do over here, Australian Ben. And I thank you for your from across the pond, your view of what America really is. America is much bigger than what it thinks that it is. And you've expressed that America gives hope to the hopeless just by existing. And there are people in this country that do not want it to exist.
Spot on, Daniel. The left are pleading and begging for tolerance, and they've been using that as cover for some time. But in reality, they are the intolerant. In reality, they are the bigots. In reality, they have absolute disdain for anyone that dares disagree with them. And this is a poisonous ideology, and it's been fostered upon children now for multiple decades. And it's got to the point now where young girls cheer for abortion. They cheer for infanticide. You have people paying top dollar to go to a New York City Broadway show to see the president of your nation stabbed up on stage. There's a restlessness here, Daniel. There's a darkness in these people. You know, Russ Dizdar spoke about it when he said the Black Awakening. A lot of these people are soulless, Daniel. They have to be, mate. Because they receive not a love of the truth that they shall be saved, God shall send them strong delusion that they may believe the lie. And they're living that lie every day, Daniel.
Wow, that is again well said. And to continue your train of thought, we have Netflix putting out a show called Cuties, where little baby girls twerk and undress and send out nude photos of themselves, and somehow that's acceptable in this country now. This is where we are. And another thing I agree with you, and I've been trying to say this, I've been trying to figure the way to present it to people, but it is true, that side, that is, it is a darkness, and they appear to not have a soul. I played a video of Trump when he first heard that even his diametrically opposed political opponent, Ruth Bader Ginsburg, he paused, he thought, he says something nice and respectful. That doesn't happen when somebody on the right dies. It's like about time. Think about when the L.A. police, there was an attempted assassination on two L.A. policemen sitting in a car. The people around were cheering, saying, I hope you die. And then they went to the hospital and tried to block these officers from getting into the hospital. This is the left today. This is the darkness in the soul of a large portion of America. Now, the Bible does talk about that in the end times, the shaft will be separated from the wheat. And I think that the shaft is on big display right now.
Daniel, it's really interesting. It's interesting that you mention that, because in reality, mate, we're in the end times. Are we not in the end times? Is the book of Revelation not coming to fruition before our very eyes? You know, we've read these things for a long time. We've seen them. And for a long time, Genesis 6:4 didn't make sense. But Genesis 6:4 makes a heck of a lot of sense when you actually try to grasp where we are. You know, Daniel, we live in the future. We live in 2020. We all expected we'd be flying around like the Jetsons. But the military-industrial complex prevented greater humanity from having access to this free advanced technology. And they did it for their own nefarious reasons, to keep us locked in the petrodollar model. And therefore, we haven't been able to reach our true destiny. And they wish to impose a dystopian nightmare. We understand the New World Order, whatever it may be. But Daniel, you can only become a victim to that machine if you close your eyes and you close your heart. Because if you've got ears to hear and eyes to see, and if you actually read the word or pay attention to anything that's going around, you have to know that something big is happening. And it's a stirring, Daniel. And I think it's right there, mate. And, you know, we don't know the day or for the hour. And it might be another century away. But in the fullness of time, a century is absolutely nothing. And pray that we can escape before those horrible things come upon the earth as well, Daniel.
Well, you're getting some rave reviews about your opinions here, but I've got questions coming in for you, Australian Ben. Says from Kevin, he says, are you experiencing government-forced livestock slaughter and crop destruction?
Yes, we have been for some time, but it's more widespread than that. There's been a deliberate strategy by the government to eliminate certain lands and certain productive lands. Because maybe there were some fossil fuels utilized on those lands, or a particular farmer was having access to a local river or stream that his family has used for hundreds of years. But now a consortium maybe wishes to tap into that creek, so they have to get rid of such a person. We've seen the buying up of Australian farms and livestock by upwards of 50% of Chinese consortiums. A lot of Australia's farms have been sold. I don't begrudge the family. Some of these families who are multi-generational farmers going back since the founding of the country were able to sell their businesses for just shy of $1 billion. And that's a bloody good reward for toil and effort through the generations. But having said that, we shouldn't be selling it offshore.
Do you think this mask mandate that you guys going through, this is some sort of ruse for some control mechanism? It appears to be mainly the Western-type countries that are going berserk with these mandates with no science whatsoever behind it. Do you see a worldwide effort for some world event, and this the mask thing is part of that?
I think we're seeing a dehumanization. When you travel to the Islamic world as a Westerner and you see women draped in burqas, and you see them everywhere, it's quite an affront to your eyes, Daniel, that it's such a cultural shift that it's hard to actually gravitate towards understanding it because it's so alien. And if we also relate that to police put on uniforms and they do things against people without that uniform, and that uniform empowers them to do things. In the Asian world, Japan, China, Korea, etc., they've been wearing masks for decades and they've already been dehumanized. Here in the Western world, we prefer to show our faces because we think that's an act of kindness, openness, and that's the way we deal with each other. There's reasons why you don't wear masks when you're putting petrol in your car or walking into a bank, because it's shady, Daniel. We don't get to see each other. So in a round way, what I'm trying to say is when we put on the mask now and the mask becomes normal behavior for people, and it has become normal to the point now where it's a fashion accessory, and Louis Vuitton have even just dropped a mask and it cost $987. The princess wanted one, but I'm not letting her get one. But aside from that, Daniel, we can't have these masks on our faces because the government says so. This is about government control of your human will. And that's what's happening down in Melbourne. There's a full lockdown where patterns of behaviour in a free state have been changed drastically. and they're now becoming adopted. And what you're seeing is, whereas at its onset, 98% of the population was adamantly opposed to it, we've seen people through the advancement of that totalitarian tiptoe, I think David Icke refers to it as, the imposition of a normalcy. And now upwards of 40% of people are saying the mask is a great thing, and they're accusing those who don't wear the mask of potentially risking their lives. So the mask, in effect, is a weapon being used against the people in more ways. And the most important way it's being used is to deprive people of their own personal liberty. It's tearing families apart, Daniel.
Mm-hmm. What do you see that's next after the mask?
Well, in Australia, our Prime Minister announced, along with our Health Minister several weeks ago, that they have, and it was a proud announcement for them. And in some ways, I can understand why, but they announced they've secured over 88 million doses of a vaccine. That's enough for 3 doses per Australian, basically. The Prime Minister went on to say that he believes that there should be a 95% adherence rate to that. And then he went on to say it would be compulsory. People got very upset with the Prime Minister saying there'll be a compulsory vaccination. So he backtracked on his words the following day. And basically what we've got now is, Daniel, is it's on the horizon. It's going to be here before Christmas. The government is telling people, yes, you don't have to get it. But if you do not get it, you cannot travel on public transport. You cannot enter a government building. You cannot enter a cinema or a shopping center. You cannot go to a hospital. You cannot attend school. You cannot attend university. You cannot hop on an aircraft. You can't go on a holiday. You can't stay in a hotel. So people are going to go and get this thing, because you literally can't go to work unless you have this vaccine. So what's coming next? That's coming next. And we have people. There's a famous guy in Australia. His name's Chris Hemsworth. You know him better as Thor, the big muscle-bound guy. Is that Hollywood movie star. Either way, him and his brother live in an area of Australia. It's called Byron Bay. And Byron Bay is like hippie central in Australia. That whole town has voted for the local council the way they want it, and it has been that way for several decades. They have no fluoride in their water. They have no GMOs in their food. Every single store has to sell organic. They're a total non-vaccination community, and the government hates them. And the government is going to do everything possible to force them to take the vaccine, Daniel, because at the moment, by them refusing masks, by them refusing fluoride in the water, by them refusing vaccines for their children prior to COVID, by them refusing GMOs, they're demonstrating what's going on. And somebody like Chris Hemsworth, because of the resources he has, he's able to sustain that lifestyle and act as an example. There's several other Australian television personalities that do similar, but they're mostly hated and mostly silenced and mostly called tin hat foil-wearing people.
Wow. Another question for you says, what happened to the fires in Australia and all the koala bears?
Well, koala bears die. It's sad because bushfires happen. But bushfires have been happening in Australia for a bloody long time, and the koalas have been here even longer. So they'll survive and they'll get through it. What we've seen, though, is we've seen the imposition by radical left elements. There's a party in Australia which is full radical left called the Green Party. You have something similar in your country, I think, with Jill Stein or whatever her name was.
Mm-hmm.
And what they try to do, Daniel, when they achieve power in local regions, they tell the local community fire authority that they do not approve of backburning, because backburning puts smoke into the atmosphere, and that contributes to global warming, climate change nonsense. So they've prevented backburning for several years in regions where they need backburning seasonally so we can escape a future bushfire. Now, when these giant bushfires happen, there's been no backburning taken, then they use that as political ammunition to come out and attack the sitting Prime Minister and say he's been ineffective. When in reality, he said, you were the ones that prevented me from doing so. So, yeah, there's bushfires in Australia. They're big. There is also some concerns that some of these bushfires are deliberate and they've been put through Central Australia, specific regions, with the intention of eliminating those populations so they can put through a high-speed rail. Because if the government wished to go through and do compulsory acquisition, like if you're putting an airport into an established city, you have to purchase everyone out. Now, to do that for about 2 million Australians that live along that projected line, is too expensive. So maybe some people argue sending a bushfire through is a cheaper option.
Mm-hmm. Wow. I don't know if you know that in Nashville, Tennessee, the mayor emails were revealed. Somebody got them and put them out in the public. And in the emails, the mayor and his top people were emailing back and forth saying, we don't have the numbers for a lockdown. And we don't, there's only a couple of them in the bars. What do we tell the people? And they were talking to each other in these emails saying, well, don't tell them, just give them a big number and tell them that we can't give you the number because they change all the time. In other words, the whole thing's a freaking hoax, man. Now, if that mayor was outed and caught lying about the numbers, we know that mayors across the country and probably leaders around the world have been lying about what's going on as well.
Daniel, the Premier of Victoria, who's like the governor, basically, of Victoria down in Melbourne, where we have the lockdown state in Australia, he has been tied in with the Communist Chinese Party for some years. He's actually made 25 trips to China in the last 24 months, and he doesn't have a second wife there. So he's obviously coming home with suitcases filled with something. That man has aspirations to work for the United Nations. That man is an ardent subscriber of Agenda 21. That man believes that radical right-wingers who believe in God are a threat to civilization, and he believes that the state is God and the state knows best. So there's an ideology taking place down there, and he's enforcing rule like a dictator. And he does so when less than 400 or around 400 people have died in over 9 months mm-hmm. because of this supposed worldwide pandemic. Over 50% of those 400 are over 75 years old. They had pre-existing conditions. And that's in a city of 5 million people. And on an ordinary year, the road toll would be triple that. So you could argue that they should take all cars off the road because that kills substantially more people than COVID. Mm-hmm. It's absurd, Daniel. And what I think, you know, mate, the New World Order, is it a real thing or is it not a real thing? Have we been reading lies all these years, or are there serious plans to get this thing in action? It can't happen in America. They can't kick it off in Texas because there'll be too much resistance. So they do it in an area in Melbourne, which is a very, very strong population. The population of inner city Melbourne itself, they've got 300,000 Chinese. Most of them are students. So half the population is subservient anyway. It's a test case. And it's a good spot to do it in Australia geographically because it's down in the bottom corner. It's like doing something in Florida. You can contain it there, then the rest of the nation sees, and you can let it spread and come up the rest of the nation.
Wow. So this thing is apparently a worldwide effort. And it appears... Now, let me go really conspiratorial. I mean, we've got Illuminati. We got George Soros. And by the way, Fox News was out. I don't know if people saw the video. Newt Gingrich brought up George Soros in an interview, and they told him to shut up. So people go on to YouTube and look at that. But let's go bigger than Illuminati and globalists and One World Order and Jesuits. What if we have an alien intelligence that has been communicating with our leaders saying the humans are an infectious species? We need to get them tamped down. They breathe out contaminants that can kill our alien species. Or in the control part of it, we need the world to break these governments apart to get a one central government in the world so that we can give them information beneficial to mankind. So the agreement is, if you want to advance mankind in technology, you're going to break apart. You have to break apart these countries and the identities of these countries. What do you think about that?
I think that's spot on, Daniel. I think, you know, it's divide and conquer. And when you're talking at an alien super intelligence level, they can do everything, mate. They divide and conquer through Led Zeppelin and Kiss, mate. Those fans of those two bands have been going to war for decades about who's got a better guitarist. So there's ways and means. But, you know, the aliens, Daniel, we're on the edge, mate. Can we just start talking about the real questions? What are the most far out there questions that the edges have got that maybe a normal guest wouldn't even answer, Daniel? But I'll give it a shot, mate, because I believe the aliens are fallen angels. I believe what Sherry Shiner said in 2005 on your program was pretty much spot on. We love it. I've read the book of Enoch frequently. It all makes sense to me, mate. I read the book of Daniel. You know, I don't see any cowboys in the Book of Daniel, but I picture you when I read it, so I guess that's close enough. And, you know, I love Galatians, Daniel. Everything is happening now in the world for a reason, and the Great Awakening is more so than something about a guy called Q. Wow. I think the Great Awakening is the unfurling of the scrolls. The scrolls were sealed up until the time of the end, and then the internet, smack bang, crashed into the world. And we've all been trying to play catch-up ever since. But we all keep looking to the sky because we know he's coming soon.
Mm. Wow. I have another question for you. Do you have any plans for a political career to help save Australia, or is it impossible to get elected unless you're connected like it is here in the United States?
Yeah, it's a bit like that, Daniel. I'm just the silent, I'm the vocal minority of the silent majority down here in Australia, Daniel. But, you know, I speak to a couple of prominent politicians frequently. Our Prime Minister is an evangelist Christian. He can't go on television and say that every night because we're meant to be a secular state, but he attends church every single Sunday, even though he should go on a Saturday. You know, his heart's in the right place. And in regards to myself, do I want to run, Daniel? I'm in the world, mate. I'm not of the world. And frankly, no one can put a stop to this. And frankly, no one can do it better than Donald Trump. Donald Trump's knocked it out the park and he's shown the model. But the thing is, he's a bull in a china shop, Daniel, and no one will ever be able to put Humpty Dumpty back together again. It's now or never, and something big is going to happen.
Mm. It's interesting you say that, because in my ranting points, I don't even know if I got there, but the final ranting point said Trump is the wall. Because he's talking about building a wall, but metaphorically, he is the wall. He's the wall between a huge army of freaking demon bastards that are just trying to destroy everything in this country. And he's standing for truth, justice, and the American way. And I'm thinking, God, you know, I pray for him and I pray for this country. And I'm going to put Australia on my prayer list now, because you're over there and Peter from Australia is over there. But, you know, he's like the wall. And who else is there? When he's gone, who do we got?
Well, they're talking about, think of 2024, who comes next? And they're talking about Nikki Haley. They're talking about, who are these people of the Republican Party? They're not real people. Like, that model of the Republican Party is dead, Daniel. It can't ever go back to being the same again. So, you know, unless it's Donald Trump Jr., unless it's The Rock, you know, Dwayne Johnson wants to throw his hat into the ring. But I'm not sure anyone will come after Trump because, hey, between now and November 3rd, some crazy things are going to happen in your country, Daniel. And now after RPG just dropped dead, but some say she dropped dead 2 years ago and she was on ice and they pulled her out when they needed to.
Wow. And interestingly, Hillary come out of her colostomy bag somewhere and said that, indicated she's anticipating on being appointed to the Supreme Court. So she wants Biden to, she told Biden, don't concede the election under any circumstance. So obviously they can put her in there. Now see, this is where Obama made a mistake, because the pride, the ego of RBG kept her in there. She could have retired and he could have appointed a more youthful person, but they so thought Hillary was going to win that he didn't do it. Like he didn't fill all these federal judgeships. He left them wide open. It was a horrible mistake. And Donald Trump has been filling these judgeships. So that's one saving grace about this. No matter what happens to Trump, he's been filling our federal courts with good constitutional judges that are going to be there when he's gone. But Hillary, they all expected her to win. And that's why they didn't erase all the phones before in the Justice Department and the FBI. They didn't smash and delete those phones because they thought their girl was going to be it, and that didn't happen. But by the way, Australian Ben, I got to say, a couple of ladies have been asking, are you married?
And we go to I'm happily settled with a girl of 10
okay.
years.
Okay, well, there you go.
She's a princess, we're just trying to get by, Daniel.
Okay, well, that was a question. Just, you know how I like to ask the questions from the chatters. All right, here's a question for you. Here's another question for you.
But I'm taking applications, Daniel. I'm taking applications, you know. So here we go.
Wow. Okay. Dale Z
Only
says,
joking, only joking.
okay. Dale Z says, Australian Ben, do you know Pastor Steve Ciccoletti? Ciccoletti?
Yes, I do know the gentleman he's talking about. That young man, Steve, is a serious warrior of God. If anyone watched his channel on YouTube, you could possibly mistake him for one of the two witnesses in the last days. He's a phenomenal young man. He's a Thai Australian. He's got a massive ministry that maybe only 300 people in Melbourne would regularly attend. But in the world stage, he has millions. He travels the world and he's bringing the word of the Lord to Asia and to Asian cultures and to Southeast Asia, Vietnam, Myanmar, Burma, Thailand, China, Korea, you name it, he's over there doing it. And he does phenomenal YouTube presentations on the end times. And
Wow.
he's got excellent graphics, Daniel, much better than yours, mate.
Hey.
But he's got a full-scale operation, and it's almost like watching InfoWars for Bible believers.
Wow. Do you send me his email, man? I gotta get him on the show.
Yeah, well, I'll try, Daniel. I'll try. He's a busy, busy boy, but he's got a ministry and everything. If you just Google his name, you'll be able to look up his church and you'll be able to see his YouTube channel and what he does and all of his speeches. But he is a serious end times warrior. He's a watchman and has been forever. And I believe he was raised in the church and he's got serious fire in his belly. You know, sometimes when you hear a guy like Steve Quayle talk, do you know that the God's been given some wisdom to Steve Quayle just because of the message and how it resonates? Well, that young man, Stephen, he possesses that same power. It's a very firebrand thing. But he doesn't sound like a preacher at the pulpit in Alabama, Daniel. He's a very sophisticated young man that would run rings around somebody like Ben Shapiro.
Now, if he agrees to come on the show, he's not going to bail on me, is he?
Well, no way. He'll be all about it, Daniel. If you talk about end times and the second coming, he's right there with you, and he'll do it to you in four languages as well with a smile on his face.
Well, Dale Z says that's his pastor. Well, give me his email address. All right, here's another question for you from Doreen out of the live chat. You know all of our great people there, and I'm just pleased as punch. Somebody from live chat is on the show tonight. I've always kind of extended that invitation. Do you have any info on Planet X?
The only info I have on Planet X is sort of the info that everyone else has, but I can tell you I did see the second sun in Melbourne in 2011 on a cloudy day. It was
Really?
approaching dusk and
Wow.
I looked up and it was clear. You could see it. There was something there. There was an outer body and mate,
Wow.
it put the fear of God into me pretty quick because a lot of things came to perspective right then. And you know, whatever's going to happen with this Nibiru thing, Daniel, there's some strange things that occur in the skies down here because we're in the southern hemisphere. And in the middle of Australia, America's actually got its largest NSA installation, and it's got a satellite mapping system for the entire globe. And it has it placed here so it can project upwards over the northern hemisphere and encapsulate the globe and center down on top of Russia.
Wow.
So there's nothing that happens in the world that's meant to be hidden that isn't happening in the Australian skies. And it's also because we're so vast and a lot of the vastness isn't inhabited. You know, Planet X, what do you know, Daniel? Is it going to happen? Is it going to come? Well, we don't have any determination of if it happens or if it comes. You know, was there a mud flood? Have there been cataclysms? Of course there have been. Are we long past due? Damn right we are. I don't know why people still buy real estate in Yellowstone. Maybe they like the TV show. But the point is, that thing's been meant to go bang for a long, long time, and Hawaii is always going off. So what's going to happen? Who knows? But I can tell you this, Daniel. There's certain things that are happening in the world, and the planet is coming to life. And some people attribute that to the closeness of Planet X approaching the planet and gravitational pulls, etc. If the pole flip happens, mate, I might be sitting where you are and you could be sitting where I am. Who knows?
A lot of things could happen. Let me ask you this. What about a worldwide revival? Is there any hope for that?
It's happening, Daniel. It's happening right now on the Edge, and it's happening on thousands of other programs just like this. The revival is here. The revival is real. The Bible believers, we know them. The people that the Lord has given a love of the truth for, we know who they are. They've been seeking out the Lord. They've been trying to make sense of the chaotic world that they live in. And that revival is able to easily identify those who are not part of that revival. And they're the soulless. They're the ones screaming on the streets. They're those hellish women that we see. Mm-hmm. They're terrible men. They're people doing nasty, nasty things, and they're doing it for the benefit to satisfy their own egos based on an ideology. They don't do it based on spirit. They don't do it based on generosity. They do it based on control. Our revival isn't about control. Our revival is about submission. And we're submitting to the word and to goodness. So that will live on forever, Daniel, and it's prophesied, mate. You know, you can't argue with prophecy, Daniel, because prophecy happens. People can be hesitant all they like, but really, God's got a different message for them eventually.
Well,
one way or another, they'll find out that God's word is real.
Australian Ben, you said earlier that that which is hidden has been revealed. The hearts of men have been revealed. The evil that we see coming up in your country, in our country, which, by the way, the fires out west, I believe, are being set by anarchists. But the screaming, like you just said, and the level of evil and the things coming out of people's mouths and the hate and the anger and the violence, they all seem to, it's like a manifestation. Their hearts have been just revealed. But they've always kind of been that way. And maybe we've kind of said, maybe they'll just go away. Maybe they're not so bad. They're really nice. But now that which is hidden has been revealed. They were this way the whole time.
Daniel, it's the saddest element, I think. The saddest element is that we're all fallible. The flesh corrupts all of our wills. But we're trying to do the very best we can to not be slaves to the flesh anymore and to do something bigger for a better purpose, because we were designed and created and endowed with life by the Lord for a greater purpose. And when I see these people that are totally lost, and I see them for, you know, decades, and their parents raised them as atheists. Their parents solidified that belief in their mind. Their parents in many ways told them that God is nonsense. And for these people now to be living lives where they proudly proclaim that God isn't real and that God is nonsense and creation is a lie and there's no such thing as decency. And they say these things whilst we live in a hyper-sexualized world where children are now being strutted around on Netflix doing hoochie dances. It's absurd, Daniel. And I find it saddening, mate.
Mm-hmm.
Because it breaks my heart, because these people are so defiant. Like, I'm still a sinner, Daniel. I transgress every single day, but I'm getting better, mate, you know. And I really try to repent, and I really try to do what's best, not for myself but for the people around me, because if I'm doing what's best for the people around me, then I'm doing what's best for myself. But these people, they have it the opposite way. They do what's best for themselves, and they don't care about the people around them. That's a horrible way. That's not the way the tribe got by for hundreds of years, Daniel. Live and let live, mate.
Wow. Well, Australian Ben, I sure appreciate you coming on the program tonight. A couple of people suggested you need to be a regular, but man, I'm so glad that we had this conversation. I think this one was the one that was meant to be, because now I've got a whole different view of what's going on in Australia and the kind of the connection worldwide. Over here in the States, we're going to do our best, try to keep this thing headed in the right direction and fight the forces of hell. But I got to believe that the good people outnumber the evil people, and maybe they played their hand a little bit too early even now, and maybe God will give us grace and the strength to rise up against. And because the Bible says, or maybe, I don't know if it's a scripture, but it says evil triumphs if good men do nothing. I think we're getting closer to good men doing something, because we haven't done a whole lot in a long time.
Well, that's right, Daniel. But remember, he only needed 144,000. And we're all desperately trying to jump into that group. You know, but plenty of us will still be around, because there's a thing, Daniel. It's called the millennial reign of Christ. And we're looking forward to the millennial reign of Christ. because that's after what happens in Armageddon, and that's after the destruction. And then during the millennial reign of Christ, children will learn war no more. There will be peace. There'll still be people acting opposed to God, but the majority, the multitudes, will be with God, and it will be up to us to try to save and rescue those fallen in the last times. All we can do is pray and hope, Daniel, and I pray and hope that you and your audience are doing fantastic, and I pray that your bees give you honey, and I pray that you put someone on the bench that's going to be happy for America, and I'd love to see a crucifix mounted atop the Supreme Court of the United States of America.
Hey, you said earlier you listened to Sherry Schreiner on this program in 2005. Have you been listening that long, or did you just go back in the archives and find it?
Daniel, I'll tell you how I found you quickly, mate. In 2005, I was living my life, living the dream, riding motorbikes, doing enjoyable things, and I was on holidays in Thailand, and I got smashed into while riding a CBR 600 Honda by a petrol tanker. Anyway, I survived after bouncing down the road, being in hospital for about 3 months, and then I was in a wheelchair for 3 years.
Wow.
And during that time of being confined in a wheelchair and a young guy having his life snatched away from him, I wanted to seek answers, but I couldn't go anywhere or do anything. And in 2005, YouTube was just starting and Google was out there, so I used to just write truth into Google. And one day the Edge broadcast came up under truth in Google, and I listened to you, mate. And I think I listened to pretty much every episode. I really love one of my favorite episodes ever. I'm not sure if he's still around. The gentleman's name was Benjamin Baruch.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it might have been back in about 2007. And he was speaking about the day of the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, Daniel, I've been there, mate. I love it. I think you're doing a great show. And, you know, when are you coming to Australia, Daniel? Bloody hell. Pull your finger out.
I have to. They let me on the plane. Australian Ben, can we have you on again sometime in the future?
Yeah, I'd love to, and I'd do some show prep. I have some notes. I've just been off cuff at the moment. It's sort of 10 o'clock on a Sunday morning, and I was meant to be watching the UFC pay-per-view and going to church myself. So I quickly just chucked on a shirt and a jacket. Sorry, I still got my shorts. I haven't even got shoes on, Daniel. My lighting's all wrong, mate, but I made it, and I'm here, and I'm glad I was able to fill the void anytime. Oh,
man, the chat just loves you. I do too, Australia Ben. Stay safe down there, and I appreciate you coming on the show.
Bon voyage.
All right, sir. All right, everybody.